verse number 30. If you love the Lord, say amen. The Bible said, and Jesus answering. By the way, He still has all the answer. He said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, and pouring in oil and wine, he set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Thank you for standing this morning of honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you. So we thank you for this time together. I pray now you'd help me today and you'd let preaching be easy. God, as Brother Tim has sung that song, I found out, Lord, you don't want my Isaacs, but you want me. Now, God, I give myself to thee today. I pray and I take you'd use me as a vessel. God, would you fill me and spill me in the hearts of the people? God, would you let preaching be easy? Let me be a blessing to the people today. Help me, I pray, if there be one here lost, that you'd draw them by your amazing grace and your compassion and mercy. Do great things in this service today. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You'll notice the Bible said, and Jesus answered and said that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves. I'd like to preach on this simple topic this morning on a trip that became a trap. A trip that became a trap. Now you'll notice, first of all, there is the inflicted person. The inflicted person. I'd like to say the Bible said there was a certain man. And now, first of all, I want to talk a little bit about deception. Now, Jerusalem is the greatest place in town. Have you noticed this, that out in the Gaza Strip, that it's a lot more of them dead than it is of God's people that is dead? Jerusalem will always be on the map till Jesus comes back. Jerusalem is a wonderful place in the eyes of our God. Now, I can tell you that the United States of America will never go wrong helping Jerusalem, for it is the apple of God's eye. He's coming back one of these days, and He's going to do a great work. He's going to set up the throne of David there in Jerusalem, and He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. Honey, He's not coming back on a lowly coat this next time. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this way of Jerusalem is a mighty big presence in our Bible and in the heart and the mind of God. Jerusalem is the place of God's people and God's house. Now, I want to say this message may take different turns today, but I think you'll get the gist of it. I've got a question, first of all, about this deception. What was wrong at God's house? The Bible simply said that there was a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. I would ask you just a simple country boy question. What's so wrong with being in God's church? You say, well, preacher, you don't understand how bad things are in the church. I will remind you. I understand that people make up the church, but whatever's going on in here is a whole lot better than what's happening out yonder. You see, when Noah went in the ark, no doubt things got to smelling bad and looking bad there. But I will remind you today, ladies and gentlemen, you may think that it's bad inside this ark, but it's a lot better than what was happening on the outside of that ark this morning. And so I would ask you this simple question: why would you want to leave God's house? Why, when things are exactly what God intends them to be? I'm going to say this about a church and about Jerusalem today. I realize right now, every Jew that'll die without Christ, in hell they'll lift their eyes. The Bible said there's one way to the gate. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Honey, let me tell you, there are no options about how to get to heaven. You can't baptize your way in. You can't work your way in. You can't pay your way in. We all must be born again by the grace of God, is what this Bible teaches us. But I would ask you this question. I believe with all of my heart, many of you sit in one of the greatest churches that's in America. And I would say this, what's wrong with Jerusalem? What's wrong with just being happy around God's people? It reminds me about the prodigal. You know, everything was great at Daddy's house, but all the grass looked greener on the other side. Isn't that just like the devil? How you make us get so used to our Jerusalem? And how maybe sometimes he'll send something away, but the devil will come in and they'll sow that word of deception. A certain man. And I will remind you this, when he went down to Jericho, the trip had to start someplace. It may have started by him missing his Jerusalem on Sunday. It may have started with him quit reading his Bible through the week. He may started headed down to Jericho from God's place by maybe looking in on the wrong internet program that week. He may have got around the wrong crowd, but I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, it started at some place in his or her life. Be careful about deception, because I know nothing better than God's place and God's people and God's preaching. Would somebody help me preach on a Sunday morning? I thank God for the place of Jerusalem today. Well, the devil would love for you to get dissatisfied at your Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's so many churches that got in the way of entertainment and show business. We're not in the entertainment business here. We're not in show business. We're here to exalt the darling Lamb of God and preach the old story that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. There's no big ones. There's no little ones. We all stand even at the foot of Calvary this morning. I would say this inflicted person, there was deception. Then number two, there was a decision. Everything in my life that's ever caused me heartache and grief, I made a decision to do it. And I'm going to tell you what. It's about time that we quit blaming our decisions on somebody else. Quit blaming our decisions on how we feel. Quit blaming our decisions on our raising. Let me tell you, we're big boys and girls and we all make our own decision. So when you wind up at Jericho, you remember this, it ain't God's fault. And it ain't the church's fault many times. It's my fault and it's your fault because it came with decision. And then after this decision, this always happens when you got your mind made up. There comes a departure. There's a time before you get to Jericho. Not only is there deception and decision, there comes a departure. Now, I want to ask you something. He was at Jerusalem, a representative of God's place, God's people, and God's preaching. But all of a sudden, he made this departure, and I will remind you how he done it, or how she done it, one step at a time. I doubt if anybody took them and handcuffed them and carried them to Jericho. You see, many times we go to total destruction one step at a time. You know, the Bible teaches this, the little foxes spoil the vine. There's some things in Mom and Daddy's houses this morning that the bear didn't knock the door down and get in your house. The little foxes just slept in the little cracks of the windows and the doors, and before long, it's become a little fox's den. You look around and there's things in your life and my life that we really never intended, but we let just a little area get in and they took over. And now we've left Jerusalem and we're headed to Jericho to a bad, bad, bad departure. I want to say I thank God for Mom and Daddy that keep their kids around Jerusalem. Now, I want to say this right here, right quick, in passing. I hear this a lot, preacher. Leave me alone. I'm not bothering nobody but myself. That's not right. When I make a decision, it affects my wife. Ma'am, when you make a decision, it's going to affect your husband. And then, ma'am and sir, when we make those decisions, it not only affects us in our marriage, it affects our little ones that's coming on the scene. Some of you older saints of God are here this morning. You're seeing things happen in our culture and in our economy that you shake your head at and you wonder what in the world is going on. I seen a man on national news this morning. His 3-year-old child letting him wear a dress to school and to play because he don't want to hurt his feelings. And he's opened up and he said, well, I'm just going to let my kid express himself. Listen, mom and daddies, I never had a mom and daddy let me express myself. They express their self. What the Bible said, do. We better stand up and raise our children what this Bible still says. And forget about this God-forsaken culture. And realize there's safety in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say there was a decision, but not soon after. It was a departure. Now, you listen to me. I'll be here 20 years Christmas morning by the grace of God. Now, I believe this with all my heart. Maybe. I was looking yesterday. I'm only 53 years old. Maybe I've got 25 more. I know some of you hate that. But I hope I've got 25 more good years with the fire of God's burning in my heart. I can mount a pulpit at Liberty Baptist Church and cry and say, what thus saith the Word of God? Oh, we need preaching back in America in the day that we live. Mom and Daddy, don't forsake Jerusalem. There was a decision. There was a departure. Then notice in the story there was a down waywardness. The Bible said that he went down. Now, let me remind you of this. I don't care if you have a job. I don't care how many employees you have. I don't care what you make a year. If whatever you're doing takes you from Jerusalem, you always remember this, you're going down. And if it's a child that you're so caught up in sports, it's going to get you away from Jerusalem. You always remember this. You're not headed to higher ground. You're headed to lower ground. Anytime you leave God's house, God's people and God's preaching and God's presence, you, whether it's a nation or an individual, you mark it down. You say, well, preacher, you're not real smart, honey. I may not be the sharpest pencil in the box, but I come up in here to tell you this morning that if you leave Jerusalem, you're going to go down. His downwardness. Watch what happens. Reminds me of my life. I've lived this sermon. I wish some of you would listen to your preacher. I'm trying to save you a lot of heartache and hurts. A lot of embarrassment if you'll listen to your man of God today. Now notice the downwardness. But then notice the development. All of a sudden the Bible said that they fell among thieves. Now, when you fall, I simply thought about this. Every time I fail, it means that I let go of where I was. He fell among thieves. That means he let go of where he was. Some of you are going to fall because you've let go of where you was. And I want to say this morning, by way of warning, there was a development. They fell among thieves. Those are not your buddies down there. They're thieves. Young lady, you know what they want from you? All they can get. Look up here at your preacher. You hear me? They're not your buddy. You get on the wrong road, they'll use you. And when you're used up, they'll throw you away. Thieves, they steal what you got. Young men, you fall on this downward road, they're going to steal your testimony. Young ladies, they're going to steal your purity. They're going to steal your sanctity. When you, young people, when you let your mind go places, you can never get that back in your life. I don't care how old you get. You can never wind those things back in. And they'll always be recalled into your remembrance again. And I know some of you mom and daddies, you're probably sitting on the edge of your seats and saying, well, I wouldn't say that. That's why your family's going to get in trouble, because you don't want preaching. That's exactly why you're going to get in things that this economy can't straighten out. I want to grow a church bad as anybody preaching, but I'm not going to do it by compromising. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to preach with a bitter, hateful spirit. I'm going to tell you what it says and love you while I'm doing it. But I'm going to tell you, all of a sudden, there's great deceitfulness. They're thieves. Hey, some of you older men and women of God, when you got on the wrong road, that crowd you fell in, aren't they deceiving? They really didn't want nothing about you. They just wanted what you could give to them, what they could get out of you. I say this with all my heart, and I'll move on. If you're a rich person in monetary things in this world, I promise you this, you will never know who your friends are. But when you get down to nothing, you'll find out who your friends are. Long as you're feeding them hamburgers and you're supporting their Budweiser and you're doing their pills and smoking their weed and you're looking at their dirty books and doing things, they just using you up, and you better realize, honey, that's a dead end road. Jesus said, come out from among them and be you separate. It amazes me what y'all do on Facebook. It's just telling the whole church how stupid you are. Scoot over. That's good preaching, man of God. That's good preaching. Now, I enjoy Facebook. Sometimes I don't. I love showing the deer I kill. Me and Parker went crow hunting back in the winter, and I had a big double-barrel shotgun, some crows dead, and I put it out. I'm glad I'm raising a grandboy that wears Carhartt Bill overalls. Somebody say amen right there. But I declare, I don't understand some of you. Development, depriving. You know, I've never noticed this. Y'all ever notice this about this passage? Brother Jake, you're older man than I am. Brother Donald, you're older man of God than I am. But this depriving, the Bible said all of a sudden that in verse number 30, they stripped him. I've never known anybody that left Jerusalem that come back home that had more than what they started with. The devil will never show you what you got, just what you hadn't got. You know what he'll tell me? He'll tell me everything under the sun. But let me ask you something. I've got things money can't buy. I've got things that crowd can destroy. And look, I've got an option. Don't never let somebody tell you they didn't have an option. You and me, we got an option of what we do. So they stripped him. And you know what a light come on with me one day? Back yonder about 30 years ago, I realized something. They ain't concerned about me. They just concerned what they can get from me. It's amazing how silent your phone calls get for a while when you get saved. Brother Jerry, when I had a nice boat, a 150 Yamaha full of gas, had plenty of weed, had everything to go with it, they'd just line up to go fish with me. But when I got saved, it's like they pulled the telephone out of my house. But I'm glad God gave me some new friends, Brother Mark. He gave me some friends that's not interested in my Yamaha. And ain't interested in my weed because I ain't got none no more. They used to come over and say, "You got any of that good weed?" Oh, some of y'all turn your little angelic halos up. I know. They've used you too. And I want to say something. You that don't have that testimony, keep yourself pure and you'll have a better testimony than what I've got. Whatever happened to the child that would keep themselves pure and godly in the house of God and not have to have the testimony that some of us have got? But thank God, I want to say this and go on record saying before I close this preaching, I'm glad I've got a testimony. So don't look down on me just because I've been down to Jericho. But I've tried to learn a lesson while I was down there. Now I want to say, and moving on, this thing was deception. The devil will never show you what you got, just what you don't have. And then there was a decision, there was a departure, then there was a down waywardness, and then there was a development. They fell among thieves, then there was a depriving. They stripped him. And then watch this, there's a discomfort. The Bible said they wounded him. And I want to say about them wounds, there are some wounds in me that has affected my children. There are some wounds that happened to me that has affected my wife. I've brought trouble on them because of my wounds of the past. And I'm going to tell you what, these thieves don't care how deep they cut. They don't care how many times they shoot or how many times they steal. They're there to deplete you. That's the way the devil's always been. The devil's not your friend. He's there to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, I want to say this about a local church. Any church that's ever served God and had an influence and a testimony in this community of God's Jerusalem, and they've left that and they went toward Jericho, they've listened to a lie, and they've been stripped of what God allowed them to have in that day and that hour. It's amazing to me, and we've been years on the radio. I've signed checks at Walmart back before you had a bank card. People would say, "Are you that man preaches on the radio? I appreciate you preaching." Had a little lady call the other week. "I'm glad you're preaching on the radio. That's all the preaching I get." I said, "Hon, go find your church where there's some preaching." Brother Mike, there's a young man, a woman right now, pastoring a church in Mississippi, sitting in our church. Listens to this internet every Saturday to Monday. Ask them, has it impacted their ministry and life? Brother Mike's so good about getting this thing tuned up and online. No telling what the devil tells him and his wife. You never know who you're impacting. But I said all that to say this, God has given many ministries to be a Jerusalem where God reigns and God rules and His Son is high and lifted. God's never intended the church to go to Jericho to try to get members in it. God's church has got to be different. Yes, we love people, but He said, come out from among them and be you separate. Honey, when we brought strobe lights and black lights and dancing on a stage, we've left Jerusalem and we went to Jericho. And I don't care what any preacher in town says, the Bible's still right. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. We've raised a culture in just entertainment. They hardly know anything about preaching. Talking about a trip that became a trap. Anybody ever been there? Trip that became a trap. You see, Then not only was there discomfort, they wounded him. Some of you here this morning, you know what? You got on the wrong road and you've been wounded deep, but there's hope for you. Because there was hope for me. And you remember this, there are some deep wounds on this road. Serve God. Love Him. Live to what this Bible says to live by. I don't care what our culture says, young people. Thank God we've got some young people that's still interested in the things of the Lord. Some of you young men, I'd love to see you all step up to the plate. I'll ask you something. When me and Brother Mike kick out this thing, and Brother Jason kicks out, and some of these other preachers, who's going to carry the Word of God to a generation that's coming up with you? We sung a song. Thank God, I'm going to get out of here one day. This place is full of hurts. I'm not 30 no more. I want to say this. Trip became a trap. Watch yourself. I asked you something. This man or this woman, I wonder how much their family suffered because they made a wrong decision. There was discomfort. He wounded him. Then there, look what they done. Boy, isn't this just like the crowd I was running with? There's disloyalty. The Bible said, leaving him half dead. That's what they do when they're done with you. Leave you. You know, I like what one of the writers said, Brother Mike. I was reading about this, and he said, I tell you one thought right there on leaving him half dead. I'd never got no light on that much. He said, just like Adam and Eve in the garden, when they left their Jerusalem and went down to Jericho and listened to the devil, they sinned. And it destroyed them spiritually, and they were only half living. You see, you must be alive spiritually because you're alive physically. But in order for you to go to heaven, you must be alive spiritually. The Spirit of God must come into your life and quicken you. And you must accept Jesus as your Savior and be born again by the grace of God. Whatever happened, people preaching about the Spirit of God bringing conviction on sinners. We have to have the Spirit of God in our lives to be saved. And so they left him half dead. There was disloyalty. Oh, listen, I'm quitting now. They may tell you that they love you and everything's good. They're going to stick with you to the end, but you just watch them. If you want some good friends, go to God's house and find you some friends. Find you some fellowship. Find some of these saints of God that's been through these storms, like Brother Micah said. You know what he said a while ago preaching? He said, you know what? Storms are here. Storms are coming. Storms is always going to be coming. But aren't you glad you got somebody with you in the boat in the storm? It takes me to number two, and I've labored longer than I want. Not only the inflicted person, but look at the incapable persons. The Bible said that there came a priest and a Levite. And look what the Bible said simply. Now what? Just watch me right here a minute. I want to get on the third point. The incapable persons. There was a priest come by, the Bible said, went to the other side. There was a Levite come and went to the other side. But a good Samaritan come right down the middle. Aren't you glad for the man in the middle? You see, they come down there and they looked at him and said, this is what the law said. The law said, you're condemned. I can't help you. And he walked right on by. The Levite come. He practiced the law. He was the greatest instructor. He knew everything. He looked at him and said, oh, it declares you guilty. I'm gone. But aren't you glad of a man come up in the middle? He came to where he was. That, oh Lord, thank you for the man in the middle. Hallelujah. You see, not only by way of outline is there the inflicted person and the incapable person, but what about the incredible person? He come right down to the middle, right where he was. Aren't you glad there's a God in heaven that loved us no matter what road we got on? Oh, Lord. I feel the Lord in this place. Michelle, won't you come? the incredible person. I want you to notice he was seeking. He came where he was. He was sympathetic. Verse 33, he showed mercy. He simply had compassion. Aren't you glad we've got a God who has compassion? And then, not only is he seeking and sympathetic, he's saving. The Bible said he bound up his wounds and he poured in oil and wine. Aren't you glad the day that the Lord saved you, he done something to you? Amen. You say, preacher, I'm wounded bad. I know an incredible person that can do something in your situation today. And then I want to say this. Not only is he saving, he's sacrificing. He gave up what he had to help him. And then he's steadfast. You know what he done? He set him on his own beast. Took care of him. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then if I was preaching tonight, this is what I'd preach. Not only the afflicted person, the incapable person, the incredible person, but the entrusted persons. He brought him by to an end. And he said, you see about him. It's what he said. Take care of him. Aren't some of you men glad God found you on the Jericho Road? And he brought you by and he poured oil and wine in your wounds, got you all healed and bettered. And he come by and he put you in his church. And he told that innkeeper, the host, he said, now you see about him. And he said, this is what I want you to know in church. This is what you need to hear. He said, if you spend more than I've left you, when I come back, I'll do right about you. I'd be careful, I think, that you that's heard me preach long enough that you've heard me say this, be careful not to say you're getting what you deserve. Because I'd sure hate to know what all of us really deserve. I'd be careful with my decisions of life. Young person, I'd be careful. I would be sure that whatever I was doing in my life, it lined up with this Word of God. Mom and Daddy, there was a trip. It was a trip that became a trap. There's nothing better than God's house. God's people. Me, you've heard this. Maybe I need to say it for somebody. Somebody told my wife one day, said, there's no hope for him. Send him back where you got him. They forgot about the man in the middle. Come to where I was, broken, bruised, wounds so deep. He picked me up and he poured in oil and wine. Put me in his church. Handed me over to the innkeeper. Give me a good preacher. He said, you take care, Ken. He's hard now. He learns the hard way, but you just love him. Just have some patience with old Ken. I see something in him none of y'all see. God died for him. And I love Ken. Don't y'all throw him to the wolves. Take care of him. If you spend more of what I've left you, when I come back, I'll be sure you'll be seen about.
Would you come this morning? Maybe you found yourself down in Jericho. You found yourself with just a bunch of thieves.